Like, kids these days will have no idea. Oh my god, dude, I sound like a fucking 80-year-old man.
You sound like a boomer. Welcome back to the Intentionally Followed Podcast. Nothing in sports is off limits and everything is out of bounds. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Jacob, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm tired as fuck. But, you know, it's an intense week four in the NFL. There's a lot to talk about. We have some really good topics. I'm fucking pumped. Let's go.
Yeah, same here. All right. So today we have our movie series where we're going to be doing the movie Cars and kind of relating it to a certain sports situation that we've seen before.
Yep.
Next is going to be moments where certain athletes became Hall of Famers. They're either already in the Hall of Fame or their first ballot regardless. And then finally, we're going to conclude with our numbers series going from 76 to 99.
Hell yeah.
So starting off with the movie series, the first thing that I thought of for this with Cars was LeBron James in 2011. Because in the movie and in LeBron's situation, they had a huge ego at the time, but joining the Heat, thinking they were unstoppable. Lightning McQueen, he thought he was unstoppable for sure.
Yeah.
And then they have a minor setback. They come short of what they want to achieve. They get a reality check.
Okay. But
in subsequent adventures, aka 2012 and onwards, you have 8 straight finals appearances. Lightning McQueen's case, you just have, you know, he bounced back too. So. Yeah. It's the first thing I thought of. I don't know why.
No, that's good. That's, yeah. Damn. Like, I had it, like, when we compare it to, like, Lightning McQueen and Tomater, there's two combinations that I have. LeBron as Lightning McQueen, because he fits perfectly, just like you said.
Yeah.
And JR as Tomater.
Yeah, man. JR and Tomater have done their fair part in helping LeBron.
Like, don't get me wrong. Tomater comes in clutch when Lightning McQueen needs him. But Tomater is also a fucking idiot at the smallest times when they actually mean a big moment.
Like, oh, yeah.
Especially in the finals. Like, that one moment, like, screwed over the Cavs.
Yeah, bad. Bad. It was one of the worst mistakes that I've ever seen, and it looks like something a cartoon character voiced by Larry the Cable Guy would do.
Exactly.
All right, I'm glad we're on the same page there. You got anyone else for Cars or no?
Yeah. Sam Darnold as Lightning McQueen. I mean, we saw him in week 4. What was that, like a 60-yard run, some shit?
Yeah.
Crazy. And then Tomater would be Adam Gase. How is this man still got a fucking job?
I don't know. I think he's on the clock right now after O'Brien got canned.
He's not, though, because literally every fucking week after they get destroyed, stupid ass play calling, all this shit, the owners comes out saying Adam Gase is still our guy. Like, what the fuck? Dude, Jamal Adams gave you the red flag, and yet you still don't fucking listen.
I think it's probably the worst run organization in the NFL right now.
No doubt.
Because, oh man, the Texans were bad, but at least they recognize their mistakes. This is just hard to watch at this point.
Yeah, I saw a report that said that back in the day, the Jets didn't see Patrick Mahomes as a legit quarterback of the future. So they didn't even like interview him or nothing.
Yeah, they're fucking idiots.
Dude, what the fuck?
I'm just glad the Patriots play them twice. It's two easy dubs. And if we lose the Jets this year, I'm going to boycott.
Jesus.
Okay, so moments that certain athletes became Hall of Famers. We picked 4, one from each major sport here.
Yep.
We have Tom Brady. We got LeBron James, Babe Ruth, Wayne Gretzky.
Yep.
So, as we all know, the NFL Hall of Fame is pretty hard to get into, but with Brady, he made it pretty fast into his career. I'd say that he was destined to be in the Hall of Fame after he won his 3rd ring against the Panthers in Super Bowl 38 or 2005. And, I mean, that was a back-to-back Super Bowl. That's your 3rd Super Bowl. You have 2 Super Bowl MVPs at that point. I mean, that's kind of like the, you know, that's close to the minimum or requirements that you would need to get in, yeah. I feel like. And it was only, I mean, 5 or so years as a starter.
Yeah. He's got to thank Adam Vinatieri for two of those three Super Bowls.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
no doubt.
It's crazy. It's crazy because, like, you know, it's the Patriots have always had a great team performance in their Super Bowls. But Brady with the Super Bowl MVPs, I think that's what really set him over the edge with mm-hmm. the Hall of Fame ballot. But I mean, I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen it done that quick. It's the next person who probably could get in the Hall of Fame that fast is Mahomes because he's kind of done it all at this point.
Yeah.
He has all the accolades.
For me, when Brady hit 50 touchdowns in 2007, that famous pass to Randy Moss in week 17 against the Giants, that basically put him over the edge. But when he came back 28-3 and what was that, Super Bowl 51?
Yeah.
And that was his fifth title. That was literally solidified him. Like, no doubt.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd say it put him at legend status at that point.
Yeah.
But just, I'm like, if you take, like, the worst guy in the Hall of Fame, I feel like, you know, the bare minimum would be around what he did earlier in his career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that. I mean, even Super Bowl 49 was fucking impressive against the Seahawks.
Yeah, that one, once again, huge team effort with Malcolm Butler.
Yeah.
You know, making a huge play. Next up for LeBron, I wanted to say as early as 2007 for him, because like we were talking about with that horrible Cavs team that year and how he had to carry Big Z and Delonte West
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of scrubs to the finals against the Popovich Spurs. I mean, and holding his own individually. The team didn't hold their own, but he did. That's really impressive. But hey, I mean, it was still pretty early in his career. I'd say when he got his first MVP in 2009, I mean, at that point, we'd kind of already seen what he's capable of. I mean, a lot of people throw around nowadays, what's your favorite version of LeBron? Is it 2019, 2013, 2018, 2020? Mm-hmm. And like 2009 always gets brought up. So that was the year that some would consider him at his peak, because he's hit like four primes,
yeah,
you know, and that was like his real first prime. So that's where I'm putting him at for when he was destined to be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, yeah, I kind of agree with you on that. Like when he was on the Cavs the first time, he dunked on KG in the playoffs. Then he hits the game winner against the Magic over Hito Turkoglu, like probably the most famous LeBron James game winners that we've ever seen, because, you know, that reaction is always like engraved in our brains. And then I would say when he was on the Heat, 2012-2013 season, that was probably his most dominant season in his professional career ever.
Yeah.
And then his dunk over Jason Terry, and then the Thiago splitter block in the finals, like, bro, this, like, that point solidified his Hall of Fame, like, no doubt.
Yeah.
And then I believe earlier in his career, but before that, they were facing the Pistons in the Eastern Conference Finals, and LeBron scored the last 29 of 30 Cavs points into double overtime.
Yeah, that shit was kind of crazy. I think that was his first big, like, playoff moment right there. Like,
yeah.
Like, people were like, oh, shit, LeBron James is not just a regular season player.
Yeah, I think that was, like, the moment where people were like, oh, shit, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, obviously, the 3-1 comeback block on fucking Iggy, you know, that solidified it, no doubt.
Yeah, I think it's so funny to go back and look at Skip and Stephen A. talk about this. They did get the question, is LeBron James already a Hall of Famer? And this was like 10 plus years ago. And of course, Stephen A. is like, no doubt. What else do you need to see from this guy? And Skip Bayless literally said, well, it's so easy to get in the Hall of Fame that Thiago Splitter is basically a Hall of Famer.
Oh my God. Again, with Skip, dude, just stop it.
He's trash.
God.
So is that all you got for LeBron?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Next up, I got Babe Ruth. This one hurts. This one really hurts. I mean, I was born way after this horrible trade happened, but I'd say that after 1918, like right before he got traded, he was, first ballot Hall of Famer because he had three titles at that point.
Yeah.
And so why would you get rid of someone like that? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, a lot of people forget that he was a pretty dominant pitcher, too, like at least at the earlier onset of his career. And I think the moment for me that like made him a Hall of Famer was when he went 29 3/4 scoreless innings in a row from 1916 to 1918.
Yeah, do you want to talk about like records that we'll never see again?
Yeah.
I mean, some of those pitching records are pretty untouchable nowadays.
That one did get broken like in the 70s or something like that by another Red Sox pitcher. But yeah, I have no idea who it was, to be honest.
Yeah. It's, with Babe Ruth, it's kind of like, how would he hold up in today's game? And I don't know. It's hard to think about sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I try not to get caught up in it. But without a doubt, belongs in the Hall of Fame.
No doubt.
You know?
And I think in 1926, he hit his first 3-run home run game in the World Series. Would go on to do millions of those. And then the point that we all know of when it comes to Babe Ruth and the point that solidified his career as a Hall of Famer was when he pointed to the outfield and he pointed to a specific area where he was going to hit a home run. And then during that at bat, hits a home run in that exact location, as the myth goes.
That's pretty gangster, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's probably the, like, you know that meme when they put the black sunglasses over it and say, like,
yeah,
that's what it was. Just deal with it.
Hell yeah. Shout out to Babe Ruth. We could not talk about him for this one.
Yeah.
Finally, we got Gretzky for NHL. I mean, we talked about Gretzky before and how he's probably one of the only athletes that people consider like the best and the greatest based off of skill and legacy. It's really hard to come across. So
yeah.
Gretzky, I'd say he was definitely going to be in the Hall of Fame by 1985 when he had a back-to-back with the Oilers. Obviously, he would go on to win a couple more. But, I mean, a back-to-back in the NHL, I know it was a little more, it's been more common to have deep playoff runs in the past, but still going back-to-back in, you know, the Stanley Cup it's very hard. I think it's a lot harder than doing it in the NBA.
Or as an NFC team in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, or as an NFC team in the Super Bowl. It's really hard. So, just that feat alone probably should have put him there. And plus his resume was already stacked before that. Yeah. So,
yeah, I would say it kind of started in 1978 when he went to the World Junior Cups. He had 17 points, like in, I don't know how many games, but it was a short amount of games. Very, very, very impressive. And then in 1981, 1982 season, he got 50 goals in 39 games. And then he finished that season with a whopping 92 goals. There's only like two or three people in the history of the NHL who have hit 50 goals in a season, let alone in 39 games. That from 1981 to 1982 was when I was like, yep, Gretzky, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. What's crazy with the NHL is I feel like with the NFL and the NBA and even the MLB to an extent, people give a huge shit about rings and championships. And I feel like in the NHL, they look at the player more often.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird that it's different based on the sport.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just a weird observation I've had. Maybe it has to do with the fan base or something. But yeah, that's a good point. I probably would have put him in earlier at the 50-goal mark.
Yeah. Like, and then 1989, he breaks Gordie Howe's all-time points record of 851 in Edmonton as a LA King. Like, that's crazy. If you literally look up any stat, I guarantee you Gretzky will be top five. That's just how dominant this man was. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, he's the GOAT, undoubtedly, in my mind, at least.
Hell yeah. Come hashtag prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. We've downloaded it on our phones, and it's probably one of the smoothest fantasy sports apps we've ever used.
They have eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because they only ask you about the top-tier athletes in a respective sport.
For the NFL, you choose 10 out of the 20 player prop options to build your lineup.
In NBA, MLB, PGA, or esports, choose 5 out of the 10 player prop options to build your lineup.
Each prop has a fantasy point total associated with the over or under based on its likelihood to occur.
The more points a selection is worth, the riskier it is.
Rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool.
For PGA, Thrive has new contests each day of the tournaments, so don't sweat your golfers ruining your weekend by not making the cut.
Even better, you can win a lot of money. Thrive has awarded over $1.3 million in prizes since launching in 2018.
Use promo code FOUL20 when you sign up today, and you'll receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more.
Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store by visiting their website at www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and hashtag prop up today.
All right, moving on to the numbers series. We're wrapping it up, guys. I'm sorry. I know it's been a long ride, starting with Carmelo Anthony or someone like that.
Yeah.
But we're about to wrap it up with 76 through 99. And some of these were interesting, but I think you'll enjoy them. So 76 for me, Sean Bradley on the 76ers. I just thought it was a cool combo.
Okay. I would go Steve Hutchinson, who played for the Seahawks and then retired as a Minnesota Viking. And I believe he went into the Hall of Fame as a Viking. One of the most dominant linebackers of the last two generations, I would say. And then, as an honorable mention, P.K. Subban.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's a good one. 77, Luka Doncic.
Oh.
He's my favorite NBA player today. He's really fun to watch. I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer in no time. And I think his potential is through the roof. And honorable mention, I got Ray Bourque.
Yep.
Shout out Bruins.
I got Ray Bourque as my main pick. Fucking legend for the Bruins. And then he went to the Avalanche in the 80s. Won league's best defenseman 5 times. Fucking impressive.
Who you got for 78?
I have Anthony Mons. I believe that's how you pronounce it. If I pronounce it wrong, I'm sorry. But yeah, he was a Bengals legend in the 80s. I believe he's a really good lineman, offensive lineman. But yeah, I remember you can get him in Madden for Ultimate Team. So I recognize his name, no doubt.
I got the same guy. 79, I had Eric Williams.
Okay.
Eric Williams. I don't know. That one was kind of an interesting find too. But yeah, I just had to throw him in there because shout out Cowboys, you know.
I have Rosie Brown. He played for the New York Football Giants in the 1950s. So a lot of the photos that I found, he was a... in black and white. It's pretty impressive that Rosie Brown was that dominant in the 50s. But yeah.
Yeah, true. Number 80, I have Jerry Rice. Obviously, we were talking about him recently.
Mm-hmm.
And then Danny Amendola.
Oh, there you go.
The glory days.
I have Chris Carter, legend, Minnesota Vikings wide receiver, and Jerry Rice.
Okay, yeah. I mean, if Jerry Rice wasn't on there, we were going to have a problem. But. 81, I got Randy Moss on the Patriots and Megatron in Detroit, obviously. And then, of course, I could have thrown in, you know, Michael Irvin or someone like that. But, yeah, I only had a spot for two of them.
Yeah, I would say Kelvin Johnson or T.O.
Oh, yeah, T.O.'s good.
T.O. was 81 on every team that he played for.
Yeah, speaking of T.O., when is he going to make the Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
I mean, it just
feels... he's going through a lot of shit, personally.
It feels weird that he's not already in there, but hey. 82, Jason Witten.
Yep, that's what I have.
Yeah, one of the greatest Cowboys tight ends ever.
Probably one of the best tight ends of all time, behind someone that we'll get to in a few numbers.
When the Patriots were playing the Raiders with Witten on the team, it felt so weird. Yeah. I was like, Carter Witten. I was like, what? Well, yeah. So I had to like do a double take. I was like, oh yeah, he's not in the Cowboys for some reason.
Yeah, it's so weird to see him. He like even took a year off and then came back.
Yeah, he can't stay away from the game. 83, I have Ted Hendricks. He had 25 blocked field goals in his career. 25 blocked field goals is a lot.
That's fucking crazy.
Was that, like, part of me thinks it might be dumb luck at some point because the number is so high.
That was probably before, like, the no interference over the center rule. Yeah. So he probably just jumped over people all the time.
That's how you play the game.
For my 83, I have Wes Welker.
Yeah, Wes Welker. Dude, he's a legend for sure.
This man was a legend up there with Danny Amendola for the Patriots, man.
Shout out all these Patriots receivers. All right, next up we got 84 with Shannon Sharp and Chris Webber.
My 84 is none other than Randy Moss, no doubt.
Yeah, I couldn't blame you for that one. 85, Antonio Gates and Ocho Cinco.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ocho Cinco just because he changed his name to Ocho Cinco, which literally means 85. Not technically in Spanish, but it's pretty damn close.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I remember when Ocho Cinco was trying to become an XFL kicker earlier this year. And
that's right.
And I wanted to just go up to him and ask him, what's up, man? You want to talk? You need a life coach?
You got a problem?
It doesn't need to come to this. I also had Steelers legend Hines Ward at 86.
Okay. For 86, I had Hines Ward as an honorable mention. But to round out the legendary wide receiver tandem for the Minnesota Vikings, also known as 3-deep, 86, I have Jake Reed.
Fuck yeah. That's a good one. 87, probably without a doubt the best tight end in Patriots history, Rob Gronkowski. What is he doing in Tampa? It doesn't even look like the same guy anymore.
That is true.
It is tough to watch. It's really tough. But hey, I have to throw him on here because he did his job in New England, and of course I gotta throw in Crosby.
Yeah, Sid the Kid is my vote for 87. Gronk's up there.
True. And moving on to 88, Dez Bryant for me is going to be 88. I think I said Michael Irvin earlier but he was 88 for, yeah, he was 88 before Dez, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Michael Irvin is why the 88 is so.
Yeah, and then now it's CD.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my bad.
But like you have to ask to get the 88 number.
Yeah. So, for 88, you really could put any of those Cowboys receivers because you have to kind of ask for the number. But Dez definitely earned it. I remember he led the league in receiving touchdowns in 2014. Mm-hmm. That was kind of at his peak. And that was the famous Dez caught it year. And I think because of that event, people always remember Dez for making a great catch that he got fucked over on, unfortunately.
Yeah, fuck the Packers.
Yeah. And then Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah.
You have to put him on there. I go back and forth with Gronk and Tony G for best tight end all the time. And it's really if you prefer longevity or just peak
in a
player.
Tony Gonzalez is my pick for 88. But don't get me wrong, like Michael Irvin's in there. Marvin Harrison, too, you know, he's a great Colts wide receiver. Lynn Swan, you know, the immaculate reception. And then Alan Page, a famous Vikings defense lineman.
Yeah. Yeah, those are all good. I mean, this was the nice part about the list.
Yeah. Once you get into the 80s, it's like, oh, yeah, okay. No doubt we're going to find somebody.
Yeah. 89, I got this reserved for Mike Ditka as a player.
Okay.
Of course, we don't remember him for being a player, but I mean, that's kind of the case with a lot of these coaches. They kind of do their thing and then prove themselves with their actions and then kind of prove it with their words later as a coach. But yeah. I had to throw Ditka on because he's a legend. He's probably one of my dad's favorite coaches. So I kind of, you know, studied him a little bit growing up. And yeah, Mike Ditka is awesome.
Yeah. Mike Ditka is my honorable mention, but I have Alexander McGillney, who played for the New York Devils. And then he also went to the Buffalo Sabres as well. But I just remember playing with him as a kid in EA Sports NHL 2003 on my PC. Like, that was the days, man. But yeah, I believe he was on Toronto during that time. And yeah, shit was crazy, man. I still remember to this day, like, the soundtrack of every PC EA Sports game that I ever played.
The old NHLs were so, so great. I remember getting into fights in games, and I was like, you can do this in hockey? Because I was so young at the time, yeah. I didn't even know the rules. But yeah, I'm not going to forget those games just because of shit like that.
Dude, that even reminds me of, like, my first video game I ever played. When I was growing up, we had a Sega Genesis. It's crazy to say, because that shit, like, kids these days will have no idea. Oh my god, dude, I sound like a fucking 80-year-old man.
You sound like a boomer.
But, like, I had a Sega, my dad had a Sega Genesis, and I played, I believe, NHL 1998. And it was such a good game that in NHL 19 on the Xbox One or PS4, you can actually play in that version of like the hockey, and it's pretty crazy. Like, I've done it a few times, and it just brings me back.
Oh shit! I actually didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. Or no, I believe it was NHL 1994, and they had, like, the ice was like bright blue, like baby blue, like with the stars around the players. Yeah, yeah. Dude, it's fucking intense. I'll show you later.
Damn. Yeah, I'm going to have to look at that. I mean, the game is, like, right over there. I just don't touch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so number 90, I got Julius Peppers, and then surprise honorable mention, Drew Gooden. You remember Drew Gooden in the NBA?
YouTuber? No, I'm just kidding.
He had a weird-ass haircut. He had, like, a little...
Was he bald?
He had, like, a little tail for his hair, and he had, like, a soul patch. And he was bald, pretty much. He was 99% bald, except this one little, like, strand of hair.
Huh. Yeah, I thought he was just bald the entire time.
Nah, he's just geek. But, yeah, Julius Peppers was my actual pick for that one.
For 90, Julius Peppers is mine as well, with the honorable mention of Javon Kurse.
Yeah.
Really good Titans player. Early 2000s. Yeah, he was good, too.
Not a lot of people talk about the early 2000s Titans and, like, how good they were, I feel like. Yeah. But they've come close a few times, you know.
Just because of, like, their history as an organization.
Yeah. And, I mean, hey, they look great this year, but, yeah, they're in the AFC, so are the Chiefs. 91, Dennis Rodman. This took maybe 1 second for me to decide.
Yeah, Dennis Rodman is mine, with an honorable mention of Sergei Fedorov, who played for the Red Wings in the late 90s, I believe. He played a little bit early in the 2000s, but yeah, Dennis Rodman for 91, no doubt.
What's crazy with Rodman is, like, people, you know, he's obviously remembered for being number 10 in the Pistons, 91 in the Bulls, probably more for being 91 in the Bulls just because of Jordan, you know, playing with him, but then playing against him, then you kind of get into the debate, like, okay, which version of Rodman would you rather have? Yeah. Because it was very different based on who was on his team and, like, how physical it was. So I just thought that was interesting how it's, like, you could make an argument for two types of Dennis Rodmans.
Yeah.
And he was very two-sided as a person during that time, too.
Definitely changed. Like, he was such a good boy, you know, doing things right on the Pistons, even though he was with the bad boys. And I think because of the Pistons, like, the culture and everything, that's why he became such a bad boy, like, on the Bulls.
Yeah, I know he had, like, a bunch of front office problems. Yep. And the attitude you have in the court is going to carry over a little bit to off the court, no matter how hard you try.
Yeah.
So I could believe that. 92, I had Michael Strahan.
Okay.
Yeah.
This one hurt a little bit, but you got to give it to – got to give credit where it's due. Reggie White, I mean, he passed away in such a very shocking manner, but – he was very dominant for the Eagles and then also very dominant for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, totally. I got nothing against that. 93, shout out John Randall. I know we were talking about John Randall in our trash talk episode, but I had to look up some of that trash talk, and no way I was not putting up 93 on here. I also have Ronnie Test and the Kings just because no one remembers it.
Oh, that's right. Shit, yeah, my pick for 93 was John Randall as well. One of my favorite players of all time. Then you can't forget Kevin Williams. He played for the Vikings in the early 2000s. And then Dwight Freeney. Probably one of the best edge rushers of all time.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. All right. At 94, I got Charles Haley and DeMarcus Ware.
God, dude. Fucking Cowboys, am I right?
Yeah. Cowboys. And these random numbers.
Dude, I got Pat Williams, who joined Kevin Williams, and they were called the Williams Wall back in the early 2000s for the Vikings. Pat Williams was like almost 400 pounds. He had the biggest belly you could ever see. Dude, I loved watching Pat Williams play. So my pick is Pat Williams.
I'm a huge fan of players like that. Guys who are just like are absolute tanks, but just, not like in a healthy way.
Just think of like Albert Haynesworth, but like drop him down to like 6 feet tall and then put all of his weight that's on his shoulders to his belly.
Shit.
That's what he was.
All right. Well, then damn good pick. I got nothing against it. 95, I had to throw in Richard Dent. He was a Bears legend.
Yep. I have Richard Dent as well for my 95.
96, I have Ron Artest again on the Rockets, just because no one remembers it.
I have Cortez Kennedy. He played for the Seahawks. He was 95 there for a little bit, but the bulk of his stats and stuff like that is on 96, and he was really good in the 80s and early 90s for the Seahawks.
Oh, yeah.
Back when they had those... that weird-ass logo and weird-ass jerseys.
Yeah, they had a huge 180 in that department.
Yeah, thank God.
97, Jeremy Renick. He's a Flyers legend from Boston. He recently got into some little off-the-court, or not off-the-court, off-the-ice trouble this year. But, okay, like, we still talk about how great Michael Vick was, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I just had to throw him on there.
Yeah, I mean, he was really good for the Flyers. He also was really good for the Blackhawks, too. Mm-hmm. He's one of only three American-born players with 500 goals, career goals, so it's pretty impressive. But for my pick for 97, I have Connor McDavid, probably the heir to Wayne Gretzky, in my opinion. He's already won two MVPs, at least, I think. This man is just getting started in the NHL.
Yeah, McDavid's a blast to watch. I can't wait for more of him. And what do you got at 98?
98, I have Robert Mathis. He played for the Colts on the opposite side of Dwight Freeney in the early 2000s. Yeah, this guy was dominant.
All right, word. I got Julian Peterson, legendary Niners linebacker. And finally, 99. This should have been no surprise because we keep talking about it on this podcast, but Wayne Gretzky.
Yep. No doubt. This is like the Sidney Crosby number. You know, it's 87. 23 is Jordan. You know, like 24 is Kobe. 8 is Kobe. There's numbers that just go with players, and 99 goes with Gretzky. No doubt. Are there honorable mentions? Fuck yeah. You know, we got Warren Sapp, George Mikan, and arguably one of my favorite players growing up, his name was Chris Hovan. He was a lineman who had all these tattoos and stuff for the Vikings, early 2000s. He was a fucking goon. But yeah, Wayne Gretzky, no doubt.
Yeah, I had Gretzky, of course. And then my honorable mention was George Pican, because he gets super slept on nowadays just because he played in the days where basketball was way different. It was like, I don't think games were like televised yet. Mm-hmm. Like more like Will era guys, but yeah, he was legendary Laker, and he looked like a dweeb, like he looked like a science teacher, but yeah, he was a baller, 100%. He's actually the reason why there's goaltending in the NCAA now.
No, that's crazy.
Yeah,
I didn't fucking know that.
Yeah, so that kind of wraps it up for our numbers series. We'll try to think of something else. That's what we usually do.
Yeah, who knows? We might put them all together and create a bonus episode for you guys.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But yeah, it was a good time recording this episode, and I can't wait to see the rest of the finals, and I can't wait to see what the Texans do without Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, hopefully they I've heard rumors that they're going to sign the Chiefs defensive coordinator, and which is good because he's good, and hopefully they go from there because the Texans are fucked, dude. They have the highest payroll of all teams in the NFL, and they're 0-4.
Yeah, and they have no picks for next draft. They don't have a first and second rounder.
Yeah,
and they didn't have a first rounder last year either. And the Rams took Van Jefferson with the pick. And Van Jefferson's pretty good. I don't know if y'all have been watching Rams games, but he's pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
And I'd rather have him than Brandon Cooks. So, yeah, that just hurts.
Yeah, dude. It's crazy, man. Well, I guess we'll wait and see what happens, you know.
Yeah. I mean, shit. I'm just trying to recover after the travesty that was Patriots football this week. You know, after I got the Cam news, I was like, okay, well, I mean, we're not going to win. But Hoyer and Stidham absolutely shit their pants.
Oh, no doubt.
Absolutely crapped the bed.
And fucking Rodgers, man, without Davante Adams, just went on a clinic against the Falcons.
That was the real Monday night game. I would have rather watched that one.
Yeah. That one started so late. It's like over by midnight almost.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. It's weird because this year we've had two Monday night footballs with two games.
Yeah.
We had opening week and then this past one, obviously. But yeah, if that doesn't tell you how different 2020 is for football, I mean, what else?
Yeah, I guarantee you down the road, there's going to be a lot more postponing. And maybe, who knows, some games will be canceled. You know, like, there's going to be almost no bye week, like, yeah, for a lot of teams.
Yeah, yeah, basically. It's actually a miracle they were able to move the Steelers-Titans game around.
Yeah. It sucks, dude. Like, it sucks for players that had plans for bye weeks, and now they can't do shit. Like, that sucks.
I feel like every NFL team has, like, a plan A and then B through Z in case something happens, and they, like, cross-check it with different teams to, yeah, like, just in case someone gets COVID or, like, a travesty happens, but...
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? All right, so I had a blast with this episode. You?
Oh, yeah. I fucking love this shit. We're going to bring out a few new segments coming up. That will be on our Instagram. Go to there. We'll start an email list here pretty soon so you guys can always be notified if there's a new episode coming out and when the episode is coming out. So, yeah.
Awesome. All right.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for the podcast. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you are listening to us on so you never miss an episode. Follow us on Instagram at IntentionallyFoul. Shout out of the week goes to Big Fellas Pod. Go check them out. They just did an interview with the South Bay Lakers coach, the LA Lakers affiliate. So that's pretty dope. Go to our most recent Instagram post and share it to your story. And then maybe you'll be the shout of the week next week. And don't forget to tag us. I'm Jacob.
I'm Cam.
And this has been an Intentionally Foul podcast. Bye.
Take it easy, y'all.